the commitment that we just made, let's just stop and think about it for a little bit. I will be thine and serve thee forever. If we sang that, I hope we sang it from the heart. Trust we did. Welcome to everyone here today. See a lot of visitors left over or still here from the funeral or the wedding, and we rejoice in that. We are glad to have you here and trust that as we worship together here today, that it can be a time of blessing for everyone. Appreciate your presence. Jesus says, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. And a lot of people have found comfort in those words. So come, I will receive you. I prepared a mansion for you. And there's a place for you prepared in heaven. Many people have found comfort in those words of Jesus. And you know, those who have lost loved ones, those who are facing difficulties and trials and struggles, life may have become a burden. Those who are in persecution, you know, Jesus says in Revelation 22, he says, behold, I come quickly. And those who are suffering for the cause of Christ say, even so, come. And I suppose there's times in life when we would echo those words as well. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the promise that was left to those who stood gazing as Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know, we've heard these things so many times over and over again. Jesus is coming again. I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. And we sometimes look at the clouds at time of sunrise or sunset. And the rays of the sun shining against the clouds is beautiful. And we wonder, we think, you know, how will it be when Jesus comes in the clouds? Is it going to be something like this? Jesus says, as lightning shines from the east even to the west, so shall it be at my coming. The big question being asked when Jesus talked about these things was usually, when shall these things be? When are you going to come again? And I suppose it's a question that we ask as well. When is he going to come? What has to happen yet? What still has to take place? How bad is it going to have to get before the Lord returns? Well, Jesus talked about his return in a lot of places through his ministry. In Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 33, he says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But the message he leaves with us is, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. You know, a lightning strike is pretty, can be pretty dramatic. It's unexpected, it's sudden, and it's in an instant, and then it's over. And he says that's how it's going to be at the return of Christ. And when he comes, it's going to be like a lightning strike, and it's going to be at a time when people are not thinking about it or expecting it. And then he says, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 3, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. First he says, yourselves know perfectly that the day cometh as a thief in the night. He's talking to believers. He's talking to those who believe what he said and have prepared for that time. You yourselves. But then he says, they shall say, those who are not prepared, they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes. And so there'll be no chance to make a change. There'll be no chance to go back and make things right with our neighbor. There'll be no chance to change our clothes. There'll be not enough time to shut the computer down or the smartphone, whatever we've been looking at, or to throw away the book or the pictures, or anything else that we may be involved in that we don't want to be doing when the Lord returns. There'll be no chance to do that. It'll be too late. So the injunction of many scriptures that address his return is, be ye ready. Just like we read there in Luke 12, verse 40, where he says, be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh an hour when ye think not. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, the last part of the chapter, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, that's a personal question that each of us can answer in our own heart. When he comes, will I be faithful? How is faith manifest? How is faith manifest? Well, by faithfulness. Faithfulness in what? Faithfulness in obedience to the word of God, to be what God would have us to be, and to be ready at all times, not to leave anything undone that should be done. You know, if we're concerned about more concerned about resonating with our surrounding culture and having their approval, there won't be a time to change that. And when he talks about faith on the earth, he's talking about things that resonate with God, things that have his approval, things that glorify him. It's easy for us to become wrapped up in the things around us and to forget God and neglect his principles or allow them to slide. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. What's wrong with planting, building, marrying, eating, and drinking? Isn't that something we do every day? So is that what he was talking about? That we need to stop eating and drinking and building and marrying and planting and all these things? I don't think so. I think he was talking about something else. What was it like in the days of Noah? What was it like in Sodom? Well, probably a normal day until it started to rain. A normal day in Sodom until fire and brimstone started to fall out of heaven. And then it was too late to change. was not the eating and drinking in the building and all these things that were wrong, but it was the culture of the people and their departure from godly principles and the things that please God, and going after those things that please the carnal spirit, the carnal man. And so it said, that's the way it's going to be when I return. Just like it was in the days of Noah, people are going to be going about their usual daily work and activities and whatever else they're doing. But suddenly there will be heavens opening and the Lord descending with the shout, with the trumpet, with the voice of the archangel. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4, continuing what I read in verses 2 and 3, it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And I think that's the way it is. You know, when we are in tune with God, we are waiting, we are watching, we are making ready, we are preparing for that day. It's not going to overtake us as a thief, because we're not in darkness, but we're walking in the light, in the glorious light of the gospel. At that time, at the Lord's return, the righteous judgment of God will take place. When Paul was there at Athens, waiting on Silas and Timothy to come down from Berea, he was there speaking to the wise men of that city, the philosophers and the people, the educated class of the city of Athens. And they were talking about worshiping the different gods and then the unknown God, and you know the account there. But he concluded that discussion by saying he was introducing to them the true God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And so there is that day appointed when the Lord returns, when there is going to be a great judgment, and the world is going to be judged in righteousness. Daniel says it this way in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Remember what it says there in Hebrews and in the Psalms, that angels are a ministering spirit sent to minister to them who are people of faith, basically. And it says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen there since, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. A time of trouble like you've never seen, like the world has never seen, is going to come. And but he says the angel, the archangel Michael, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people, is going to be there for the people. And, you know, sometimes people get worried about that time that's coming. And, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive it? But here we have this promise that the angel, Michael, which standeth for the people, is going to be there, even when that time comes, which it shall be a time of trouble such as never since been seen by a nation. And so, and then he says, and at that time, he continues here, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And so, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And as we look around us and at the world today, and we see the deterioration of society and culture, and we see a lot of things happening that trouble us, and wars and rumors of wars and these kind of things, and we say, well, what is going to happen next, and all of that. And we have this promise here that at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And so if we're in God's hands, we're in good hands. And it's not a promise that there will not be persecution, or that even we may have to strive to the death, but we'll be in the hands of God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, where we end up at that time is the product of our choice. We are expected to choose God. If we want to be on the right hand when the Lord returns and for the dividing of the sheep and the goats, we must choose sides. We have to choose God. We have to choose God's ways. We can't leave it to chance and just hope for the best. It's a choice we make. And then as we make those choices, we also choose their destiny. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And you know, God will not make any mistakes on that day. He'll get it right. And there will be no argument. There will be silence before him. And it's good to know that what he says in 2 Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. But let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And so God knows them that are his, everyone. If he knows the very hairs of our head, the number of them, then he also knows his children wherever they are. And whatever we're going through. 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Wherefore we labor. Well, salvation is a free gift, isn't it? And it's not something that we can earn by our works. But it takes all our effort, all our energy, as we resist the devil and the temptations that he sets before us, as we fight the good fight, as we run the race that leads us to eternal life. So where are we today in relation to our readiness? What would I do differently today if I knew the Lord was going to return at any moment? What would I do differently? How would I change my conduct, my speech, my plans? That's a question I think that we need to address with ourselves often, especially when we are tempted to yield. 2 Peter 2:3-4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. You know, it's easy for us to fall into that rut. You know, every morning the sun rises and every evening it sets and another day has gone by. And we expect it'll be the same tomorrow. But someday will be the last. And we need to be prepared. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. What does he mean by that? Sometimes that causes people to tremble and to question their salvation. If we sin willfully, who of us hasn't sinned? What is, you know, sometimes we fall into sin, but many times when sin is committed, it is done willfully. We struggle with it, we battle with it, and we evaluate, count the cost, and finally give in. That's the way a lot of people fall into sin. But what he is actually saying here is that the cross is for the penitent. If we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. The cross is for the penitent. And what the Bible teaches us in regards to our sin is that we need to repent of it. When we repent of it, then there's forgiveness. And the cross is there for us. Otherwise, there's this certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. But for all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus and who want to serve him, to please him, for all of us who want to be builders in his kingdom, we are waiting for those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Those are the words we want to hear. But, you know, we have to make the right choices now if we expect to hear those words at the judgment. You know, when the Lord returns, they're going to be babies. They're going to be school children. They're going to be youth. They're going to be busy families. They're going to be older people, retirees. They're going to be people standing on the edge of the grave. And it could be us. Wherever we find ourselves, it could be us. And the important thing is that wherever we are, whenever it is, that we're ready. Shall we stand to pray?